From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We're going to be talking to Norman Otis Richmond in about, 15, 20 minutes, and maybe sooner. We'll be discussing this important and really readable new book, Eyes Have Seen, From Mississippi to Montreal, a memoir by Fred Anderson. Listeners may remember we had Fred Anderson on the show. And Mr. Anderson visited Toronto some weeks back. This is a book that really resonates if you want to understand modern history. So we'll be going into that in a few minutes. To begin with today, I want to just say that there's a couple of shocking things that have occurred, in my opinion. Well, the first one would be, and it's hardly remarked on, I haven't seen the editorials about this, by the way, in our media. As you know, we have our elbows up, and we're all very alert, and we're interested in the right, doing the right thing, and we have Canadian values. So the President of the United States, during a speech, said that he's going to, you know, he's fixing the economy and everything is wonderful as always and beautiful, as a matter of fact, and that the people won't have so much trouble with their taxes anymore, won't have to pay any, don't pay any taxes, and just businesses will just take care of everything. And he said, and you won't be needing to, you won't be having problems with the banks. And he said, you know, there are good bankers, and there are some bad bankers. And then he said, there are a lot of Shylocks out there. Shylocks, he said. And, well, there was some reaction. This is about, one of the nasty anti-Semitic tropes. And because he's Donald Trump, and because he is doing a lot of really terrible things in every quarter of the world that he get his hands on, he gets a pass. And he was, there were some organizations have spoken out, but I haven't heard any great hue and cry from Congress. I haven't heard any Canadian politician express any concern that the president would use this language. He, of course, did the classic thing of when he was asked about it, he said he wasn't aware that it was regarded as an anti-Semitic term. And probably the most telling, in my opinion, comment in a negative way to show us the problems we're into is that the current, I think he's the current editor of Commentary Magazine, a major right-wing Jewish publication in New York, I call it right-wing, founded by Norman Podoretz and his wife Midge Dechter. They're really strong for a right-wing U.S. They've wanted right-wing U.S. presidents for a long time. They've always been an advocated that. They supported the Vietnam War. They were did all these things. Their son, John, has taken over, took over. He has a Twitter account. Apparently, he's regarded as some kind of leader. So his remark was, Donald Trump is bombing Iran, and he can say Shylock all day long if he wants to. So long as he's bombing Iran, it's okay if he engages in this kind of rhetoric, which, incidentally, there wasn't any booing when Trump said this. He knew what he was doing, but he's given a pass because he said, I didn't know anybody cared about that or it was an issue. Anyway, That's a sort of shocking material that, again, is not played up, discussed in the media, because they either fear Trump or they agree with him, I suppose. Then there's an issue which is highlighted in some in two ways. It's the issue of what constitutes the political base and orientation of Mr. Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. He hasn't had an election recently, so he's actually served out his term, but he goes on being, and everybody calls him the democratic leader of Ukraine. There is an organization there in Ukraine called the Azov Battalion. It is led by open enthusiasts for the Third Reich, the Wehrmacht, and German fascism, Nazism. And they are now combined into a special unit. I understand it numbers 50,000. We used to say men. It might be men and women. I don't know the makeup. And across Ukraine, statues have been erected of people like Mr. Bandera, Shukievich, pardon my pronunciation. These were collaborators, open collaborators with Nazism. They have been identified by, for example, the state of Poland, the country of Poland, as criminals. But in Ukraine, they're building statues to them. And for some reason, it just does not interest the Mr. Carney's government, or certainly not Trump, nor Macron, nor the leader of Britain. They simply, and certainly not the Germans. This is you would think, a sobering moment that people would say, well, why are we committing, Canada particularly, where the question is most relevant, why is there all this commitment, military commitment, to a government in Ukraine which tolerates the construction of statues celebrating people, leaders, who were open collaborators with Nazi Germany? And this is shrugged off. And that's why we have raised on this show the subject of Chrystia Freeland's grandfather, Michael Chomiak, and of course fold into this the fact that the Parliament of Canada unanimously stood up and applauded when an individual who had been in the Galician SS, Waffen SS, I guess it was called. I don't know all these terrible names they had for their organizations. At any rate, he was applauded by Parliament, and only because they had the magic phrase that he fought not only against, he claimed against, he fought for the freedom of Ukraine, and he fought against the Russians. What they meant was that he was one of Hitler's soldiers. Now so that was a shock, and Canada kind of looked at itself, but we didn't visit the subject of why Canadians are so much in the dark as to our rather intimate associations with perpetrators of crimes during World War II. And there's a new story that illustrates this, is why I believe it should be addressed. Well, just one more point on Chrystia Freeland. Here's the issue we've had in Canada. She was a minister in the government. She remains one now, actually. She ran for the leadership. She was regarded as one of the stars of the Justin Trudeau government. And when it was revealed that her grandfather, Michael Chomiak, whom she had lauded and said was an inspiration to her as a child and all that, when that information reached the public, the position taken by her by Chrystia Freeland and by the government was, well, she's not answerable for her grandfather's crimes. And Michael Chomiak had been a publisher of a Nazi newspaper, pro-Nazi newspaper in Krakow, Poland. And the media just gave that a pass. But this brings me to my title for this little segment, which would be The Art of Missing the Point. What we wanted to know, actually, from her and from anyone in leadership in the government is, no, we didn't say that she did this, and we didn't say that she's guilty of anything her grandfather might have done. What we want to know is, what's her opinion? Because she has actually never acknowledged publicly that he was a collaborator. People keep trying to do backstories on it for us. They say, well, she's aware. I don't care if she's aware. I'm really interested. Why wouldn't anybody concerned would say, I just want to know, since she once praised him, I'd like to know, could she give an account of who she thinks her grandfather was? But the answer is, well, you can't fall into Russian propaganda. But we're not talking about Russian propaganda. We're talking about Canada, which was allied with Russia in the war against Nazism. As far as I know, we're not ashamed of defeating Nazism. And it was a great cause, costing millions of lives. So the question hanging over the story of Chrystia Freeland and the Liberal government, actually, is why don't they account for this? What the assessment they would make of Michael Chomiak. And coming back to the art of missing the point, in Britain, they have just appointed a new leader of MI6. And she is, her name is Blaise Matrivelli. And they began to talk about, isn't this wonderful? She's the granddaughter of a Georgian immigrant to Britain and all that. But then they got about 4 or 5 minutes into research and found out, well, actually, her grandfather isn't David Matrivelli, although I think he's an interesting individual. Her grandfather is known, his name is Konstantin Dobrovolsky, better known as the Butcher. He was an active intelligence man himself. She's now number one intelligence for Britain. And her grandfather, who has apparently earned the name the Butcher, is Konstantin Dobrovolsky. So, and what do you know? We're up against, again, the silly expression. And here it comes from the British Foreign Office, because the British papers are on to the story, but they're all trying to find ways to cover and rationalize. So we're supposed to be satisfied with the following point from the Foreign Office of Britain. They say, she neither knew nor met her grandfather. Well, what do you know? So what? What we'd like to know is, what is her opinion of her grandfather? And why wasn't this known earlier? And why isn't this a bit of a subject? Because remember that following World War II, a phenomenon happened, it's undeniable, that the smart guys at what became the CIA and what is now Five Eyes, they recruited Nazis. They recruited Nazi collaborators to be their people, to be used against Russia. So this seems to be just another little step along that way. I suppose the credentials she has that satisfies British intelligence is that she would appear to be a pathological anti-Russian. That's my guess. I could be, obviously, could be wrong. But this is a trend that any alert member of our society is very interested in. What kind of people are we? Who make it to the top and get their hands on really kind of important jobs? Intelligent. I mean, for example, since she's in MI6, we're not allowed to know anything much about her. And I like the fact that they say that, well, she was Agent Q, and they love this code stuff. So she was Agent Q. Well, her grandfather was Agent 30, and he was working for the Wehrmacht. And go to the British paper, I think it's the Mail. I forget the full title of that paper. It's a British paper, probably one of the most widely read papers. I understand the audience is described as lower middle class, but the Mail. They bring out the fact that her grandfather, the butcher, was proud of his work, of course, and they have 500 pages, I think they say three volumes of documents. So there's no confusion at all about who he is. In the Mail article, you can read his letters to his Wehrmacht commander, and he signed every one of them Heil Hitler. So they say, well, okay, the Foreign Office says she neither knew nor met her grandfather. All right. Well, her father, that would be Konstantin Dobrovsky's son, was born in 1942 in Ukraine, what is now Ukraine. And he and his mother went to England. So did she know, I could ask them this, did she know her grandmother? Because call me suspicious, but I would assume that a ideologically enthusiastic Nazi, which is what the butcher was, probably married somebody who knew who he was and appreciated him. So perhaps she could talk about her. Reports say that somehow, I love the word somehow, the mother and Konstantin Jr., the father of Blaise Metrovili, made it to England. And then after being in England, she married in 1947 a man named David Metrovili. I would be very interested in Mr. Metrovili too. And I notice that the journalists don't seem to care. But we should remember that there were pro-Nazi legions throughout East Europe. These were traitors who served the German cause. And there was a Georgian legion. And matter of fact, among the various legions that signed up to help Hitler and fought on all the fronts, including Normandy, the Georgian Legion was considered very special because, according to the top Nazi racial theorists, the Georgians were the most Aryan of the Untermensch, the lower orders. They had some Aryan blood, so they might be okay. So I would be interested. I mean, all he has to say is, no, I have nothing to do with that. But why isn't there any journalism here? Why doesn't somebody care? There is a situation. We have I call it the art of missing the point. And if we're hearing from the Foreign Office and British intelligence, and the best thing they can come up with to account for the absence of information on MI6's new leader, Blaise Metrovili, is that she didn't know her grandfather. And I would say to them, so you're an intelligence work, right? That satisfies you? Which I guess to put the tag on this piece by saying that Timur Hirsch has a Substack, and the title of his Substack is very wonderful. It is it's worse than you think. Every story you look at and you say, that's bad. His point is, it's worse than you think. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. We have a little bit of music, and we will speak to Norman Otis Richmond.